Devices Radio Network.
Blood, Sweat, and Gear is for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try this at home.
Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me act a fool. Up in here, up in here. Y'all gonna make me.
Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally, and with me, as always, Skip, Hill, and S2H. Guys, we're recording at nighttime. I feel like we're having a party or something. Scott, how are you doing tonight?
I was doing pretty good at like 9 this morning when somebody wasn't awake.
No, here we go.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure you're referring to me, so we'll just get this out in the open. I screwed over Scott and Scott and was sleeping soundly this morning, assuming we were going to record tomorrow morning. I have done my apologies. I feel like they were received well, so we should probably just bury this and move on.
And the reason we have to move on is because Skip really does feel bad. And if we keep talking about it, he will continue to feel bad. And I know that.
I will get emotional. I was emotional earlier when we were texting.
So we got S2H and, of course, Skip Hill. We are going to start out with a little bit of banter here because I haven't caught up with these two guys in a week or so. And after that, we are going to tackle some questions. We've got a lot of bodybuilding related questions, everything from training to nutrition to gear and everything in between. But first, yeah, I got to catch up with you guys because I just got back from North Americans. I was actually there Wednesday through Sunday. So it's been a long freaking week for me, and I'm glad to be home. Skip, you just did some traveling too, right?
I bounced around a little bit. We saw our daughter off to nursing school. She had an orientation, so we went up there for a few days. And because my wife's mother is now not doing well again, we kind of extended it and went to Michigan for 3 days too.
Nice. I wish I could have been here to hang out, but I knew even if I was, you probably, you were only here for a couple of days. It's not like you were going to use that time to like hang out in a smelly gym, lifting weights with me, you know, when you could be hanging out with your family that you don't ever get a chance to see.
Yeah, the gym is a top priority right now after not training for like 7 weeks.
Oof.
Yeah. No, but you know what? My latest few trips to Michigan have been 2 to 3 days. Last time I went back with my son, we picked up the car, so we didn't have that much time. It was kind of a mess. Typically, when I go to Michigan, and I hate to say this, but it's true, and I make it's a standing joke. It has been for years. I go back to Michigan when someone dies or basically a negative situation usually. And I think that makes it difficult when I'm back to be able to meet up with people because I feel guilty because I should be spending time with, you know, whatever the bad situation is, that sort of thing. My brother and I have this standing joke because we're tight, we're close, but we don't talk very much. We don't even text. And when I called him when I was in Michigan, because none of my family knew I was going to be there, so I let them know the day I got there. And the first thing I said to him was, "No one has died." And we both just busted out laughing, thinking it was the funniest thing ever. And I just had to get that out there because if I call him and say, "Hey, I'm in Michigan," then usually, you know, something's not right. Or if I just call him, I guess, the more I think about it.
Oof. Yeah, yeah. And what was going on with your – you mentioned something about a flight, I thought.
Yeah, I haven't posted about it on Facebook yet. It's kind of funny. We flew into Chicago, and then we drove to Milwaukee, and then drove back through Chicago to Michigan, and then we drove back to Chicago to fly out. But it was my driving back to the airport to come home. It was myself and my wife and my oldest daughter, who is now in Colorado. They moved from Florida. They did their 6 months, and they kind of didn't like it and a little bit homesick, that sort of thing. So they moved back. Anyway, she flew into Chicago, spent some time with us. We had flights leaving within about 20 minutes of each other. So she drove back with us, and we got back so early because I screwed up the time. It's an hour difference from Michigan to Chicago, and I went an hour the other direction. So we got there really early. I'm thinking we were going to drop off the rental car, maybe like 5 hours early, ready to pull into the lot. And I'm like, gosh, you know, we're going to have a lot of time to kill at the airport.
That's a nice feeling too, isn't it? You don't have to rush. Yeah.
Exactly. We all decided to go do something, but then I laughingly said, oh, wouldn't it be funny if we got here 5 hours early and we go looking around and we miss our flights? We all laughed about that. And then that's what happened.
Oh, God.
But yeah. Well, she didn't. My oldest daughter didn't miss hers. And I'll tell you why here in just a second. But what happened was I wanted to see a couple places. We wanted to get something to eat. So first we go, let's go to Ed DeBevick's. But I didn't know that it had closed because I haven't been to Chicago in a long time. I used to go there a lot when I was like in high school and stuff like that. So anyway, anybody who knows Chicago traffic knows that it's brutal. And we knew that. But yet I thought, you know, how bad can it be? We've got 5 hours. So then my oldest daughter, it was like she was telepathic or something. She's like, let's go see the Gallagher House.
The Gallagher House?
And I'm like, from Shameless, the Gallagher.
Oh, really? That's there. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm like, oh my God, I was just thinking that. And my wife's rolling her eyes. She's like, whatever. In fact, we were headed down to Nuts on Clark. And I don't know if you're not familiar with Chicago, you wouldn't know, but it's a longstanding Chicago kind of institution. It's just a small nut place down by Wrigley Field. And my wife is like, what the hell? You know, and I laughed and said, and my daughter knew what it was, but I laughed and said, I'm like, oh, it's a strip club. So that shut her up. We got down there. She goes, this isn't a strip club. I'm like, no, I just wanted to get some nuts. I'd never been here. I've been to Wrigley Field. I'm a big Cubs fan. I grew up on the Cubs. Anyway, we're going over to the Gallagher House. Okay. So we put it into GPS, but little did we know, and we should have known, that it's in the ghetto. Now, when I say ghetto, I don't know where all the listeners are from and where they've been and anything else. I've lived in some shitty places. I lived in Tampa 20 years ago when Ponce de Leon and Capitol Hill and all those places. And you don't drive. If you're a white dude, you don't fucking drive through there. Hmm. It's fucking bad. So I thought, you know, I've even been through Cabrini Green back in the days when it was the Bulls Stadium was down close to there. And it's, but here's a, if you haven't been to the Bulls Stadium, when you leave the Bulls Stadium, you're basically leaving through the projects. And it's bumper to bumper traffic. And all the little rotten kids come out and they throw rocks at the cars. And there's nowhere for you to go because you're bumper to bumper traffic.
Yeah,
and I think they tend to pick out the more expensive cars, but whatever. So, you know, I've been someplace. I've been, you know, Detroit's all boarded up and everything else. There's a lot of shitty places there. Miami obviously is rough. Denver really wasn't. I still say, even after spending 21 years there, there really isn't a terrible place in Denver if you've been to other shitty places. So anyway, we go down there. We're getting close. We're kind of like, gosh, you know, this is a little rough. Well, I think it's called Homan Avenue. I'm going to have to check, but I think it's Homan. We get off and we go down and I start thinking, wow, this makes sense because, you know, the Gallagher's, you know, the kind of white trash and that sort of thing. But we start going to, and the rental car is an X3. So it's not like an expensive car, but yet it's a very bright white BMW.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a bunch of fucking white people in it. And I normally, if I've got a tan, I might slide. I might get a nod, you know, that sort of thing.
But you're with a family, like and a white family.
And yeah. I'm white as fuck right now. I don't have a tan. My wife's whiter than I am. Ooh. And my daughter's like porcelain. Ooh. So, and this there's no good tinted windows. No, it's not good. So anyway, I'm thinking, okay, you know, we'll just get down there. We'll see it. We'll take a couple pictures. Well, we start getting closer and it just continues to get worse.
Yeah.
And my daughter's all excited. I'm getting nervous.
Right.
I'm thinking to myself, I'm not, and everybody's out on their porches. Like they're just sitting out
there. It's hot. Well, nobody has AC. You know, so they're all outside and
So they're sitting out on the porch because they don't have jobs. That's their job. I guess they just sit out on their porch and they're just watching us drive by like, what the fuck are you doing in this neighborhood? Now, in hindsight, I know that there's a lot of people that drive down there to see this house because it says it all over the internet. People visit it all the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like you could set up an entire, like you could make it your job to just carjack white people coming to visit the Gallagher House.
Yeah. And it's not. And I mean, people are out. They're standing in front of these tiny little liquor stores, brown bagging it. And they're just looking at you like you, when you're driving by, like, yeah, you just don't belong here. So we get down there and we know we're coming to the end. It's the end of a fucking road.
Oh.
And so my wife is like, you know, we're going to have to turn around. I'm like, you know, my daughter and I are like, well, we got to see the house and everything. And you almost can't recognize the house because you're too caught up in the negativity of the environment.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm watching people and everything. And then we see the house. And I told my daughter, Taylor, I said, I'm not getting out. I really would like a pitch. She's like, ah, oh, come on. I'm like, I'm just not going to get out. And she's not too worried, probably because she's with dad, but she doesn't know dad is worried.
Yeah. And she doesn't like hang out in places like this.
Exactly.
You've been there. You've seen impossibly, you know, things go down. So,
right.
Yeah. You know, this is a reality. It kind of reminds me of the kids that I see walking into the gym that are walking across roads, looking at their phones, just thinking, well, nobody's going to hit me, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm thinking to myself, seriously, at this point, it's so bad. I'm like, this is what happens when people get hijacked and they go, well, I just didn't, because the cops would have said, fuck are you doing in that neighborhood anyway car? And we would have been like, oh, we were checking out the Gallagher house. I mean, look at you like you're a fucking idiot. So we get to the end of the road. There's nothing at the end of the road except a tiny little, it's not an alley because there's not buildings next to it, but it's not a road. So my wife is like, you know, I told her, I said, oh, you're going to have to turn around. She said, I'm not turning around. So I said, well, just take this. She goes, well, I don't want to take that either. I'm like, just take it. Just don't stop. Just keep going. And my daughter's in the back seat. God love her. But she's like kind of complaining. You know, well, wait. I didn't come all this way. I want to get a picture. I'm like, we're not getting a picture. So we get over to the next road. And then we just basically settled on the fact that, okay, we saw it for a second. Yes, it kind of sucks. I really wanted to see it. But this is not a situation I want to be in. I didn't have my gun because I didn't travel. I don't travel on a plane with my gun, even though I can.
Okay.
And there's stipulations. There's issues there because even if I wanted to now, my carry conceal has expired because my dumbass got my Florida license. And didn't transfer the carry conceal. So technically my carry and conceal really doesn't mean anything.
Oh,
so yeah. So even then I don't travel with it on planes. Anyway, if I was driving, then I would have had it.
Okay.
But I'm not going to drive if I was in my five, I wouldn't have gone anywhere near that fucking neighborhood anyway. But nonetheless,
you
know
what? Hold on a second. Just a side note here. And maybe Scott, you can clear some stuff up for me. If you have it, like you can carry concealed in Michigan, but I don't know if that means, I don't know if you can carry concealed in, say, Indiana. So if I'm traveling with my Michigan permit, can I have my gun on me concealed in Indiana?
If Indiana reciprocates with Michigan.
Right.
Okay.
So in Texas, you could carry it.
Most states, there's reciprocity.
Not all of them.
I agree.
There's 27 states that have intra-exchangeable concealed carry permit holder agreements. So most of your southern states, I mean all of them actually, except for South Carolina.
Okay. Let me just be clear that Chicago or Illinois doesn't give a fuck. If you don't have a FOID card.
Chicago has a city ban on concealed carry.
Right, but that's
so sure full well that doesn't hold up anyway.
Okay, but you see why I asked Scott, right, Skip? Yeah. Because he's our resident expert on firearms. There's not many chances I actually get to ask him gun questions, so I had to break into your story to ask that. But yeah, let's finish this up. Tell me what. So you didn't have the gun with you. You guys are on the street. You saw the house, but you didn't really get to see it.
Right, exactly. So I'm like thinking I just need to get the fuck out of here. So we get through this little alleyway. We get back onto the road.
You actually took the alley.
We took the alley. I wasn't going to turn around and drive back up those roads. I thought it would be better on the other side or we could get out quicker. And apparently the size of the ghetto in Chicago is massive. I was thinking it was online or on par with Jacksonville.
Okay.
And not Jacksonville ghetto, but Jacksonville. Jacksonville's incredibly spread out and it's huge for a city. But anyway, we put it in the GPS to get back to the airport. And because traffic has picked up, it's about 4:30 in the afternoon, 4:30. We're really pushing it to get back to the airport. So to make a long story, you know, even longer, my daughter was to leave 20 minutes prior to us. And that was our priority because I didn't want her to miss her flight us to make ours, and she would be left in Chicago, and she has no credit card. So, you know, we were kind of paying for everything to get her out there because it was at the last minute. So we're going to the airport trying to figure out a game plan, and we decide that Melissa and I are going to wait for her to make sure she got on her flight. And she had, because she didn't have a checked bag, she was able to literally run to the gate and was the last one on the plane. Nice. And we were like, yay, that's all exciting. And then we couldn't get a flight because we had missed ours. So we stayed at a nice hotel and kind of right there by the airport, chilled for another day and got another flight the next day. But that little excursion cost me about $1,200.
Oh, good God. But you saw the Gallagher house.
Well, only for about 6 seconds. It was in the 4 to 6 second range. And I didn't even get a picture. Listen, it was so bad. I didn't want to hold up my camera or my phone.
Yeah.
In the car, because I knew it was just going to give me away that much more as a tourist.
Oh, that's
so
true.
I didn't even get a goddamn picture. Didn't even get a picture of the house.
So I'm not even sure if this really happened.
I could have made the entire thing up, if you think about
it. Oh, God. That sounds like my drive to Highland Park Powerhouse when I go to the original Detroit Powerhouse.
Oh, it can't be good down there. Not at all.
It's a hike in the Mini Cooper, and yeah, it takes a minute to get there. But yeah, it definitely, man, it could be stressful in those situations. We didn't have any traffic getting out to Pittsburgh. This was the first time I went to North Americans. And I want to tell you guys, I mentioned this on my intro for Advices Radio. But for everybody out there who's saying bodybuilding is dead, bodybuilding was anything but dead at this contest. There was bodybuilders coming out of the woodwork. I mean, this is one of the biggest shows of the year, you know, for our sport. And yeah, there was a lot of bikini girls. There was a lot of classic physique, men's physique, you know, all that. But there was a hell of a turnout for bodybuilding. And the nice thing is, because it's like an 18-day show, basically, they have it split up because there's so many people. Bodybuilding was a whole day. You know, they had the bodybuilding prejudging on Saturday morning and then the finals on Saturday night. So it was a big show, man. I mean, prejudging itself, I want to say I sat down around the time that they did the Pittsburgh Pro first, Masters Pro. And then I sat down for like the 70 and over NPC. And that was at like 10 o'clock maybe. I didn't leave that till like 3 p.m. Like, that's how long this prejudging was.
Okay, I got a question for you now. What were the caliber? I understand the turnout was high, and I think that's great. I do. But what about the caliber of the winners, and specifically, and I haven't seen anything because I haven't bothered to look. But what about the caliber of the winners who got pro cards? Was it what I have complained, I was going to say whined, but I guess it could be whined and complained about over the last couple of years, where I feel like they're kind of watered down a little bit. Now, I'm not trying to take any credit away from anybody, because it's not their fault if the people who show up to compete against them aren't as high level. But I think that the caliber of people turning pro within the last few years is not as good as before or previous to that. Did you see that or
well,
no?
Here's what I'm going to say. You know, this isn't the 1990s, okay? You know, this
well, and I got to give that up, because that may play a part too. I've been around too long to see really good shit. So,
and okay. And you, in 1990s, man, you saw some of the best shit there ever was in our sport, you know?
Right.
I do think that with the amount of classic physique guys, that it is taking away from the pool of guys who would have said, well, fuck it, I just have to get bigger and, you know, be freakier if I'm going to do the sport. They don't have to say that anymore. So there's a lot of guys that aren't, you know, as big as they could be. And I think a lot of those guys are staying in classic. And then the guys who don't have as pretty a shape are the ones going to bodybuilding. But I will say that there was some good bodybuilding there. I mean, there was some good stuff. There were guys in the super heavies that were diced, you know, that were very, very lean. You know, it's I will say, though, it's not the early 90s, but there was some cool stuff. And, you know, I think that we're in a transition period, though. You know, I really do with bodybuilding. I think that something's going to keep evolving with classic. And I think that there's going to be something's going to happen down the road where bodybuilding is just going to end up being more refined than the big mass masters we saw like in the early 2000s.
I think that's a good answer because I think we're both seeing it the same way. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot because you saw it and I didn't. But was Classic better than the Open Body? I understand it's a little bit of apples and oranges, but were the winners, you know, better in your opinion?
I can stop you right there because I didn't go to the Classic. I didn't go to the Classic day. I took the day off because I was there with Lindsay and she competed with the women the day before. And so I had to deal with a female that was getting ready for a show, which is very different than when I get ready for a show. A lot more going on. You know what I mean?
I have to ask you the obvious question. How did she do?
She took third place, missed a pro card by one spot. And honestly, man, I think it was in her presentation. I think that she really could have done it had she had a little bit more confidence on stage. I could show you some pictures. If you look at the still pictures, it's almost hard to see how she could have gotten beaten in a few shots, especially. But you could really make a very strong judgment for her from the pictures alone, saying, oh, yeah, I don't get this. She got robbed. You know, it would be easy to say that. But having been there and seen it actually unfold and watching her side by side, I would say that with better presentation, she could have pushed those girls a little bit more. That's
an easy fix. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So she's going to shut it down for now and come back in the spring. And, Shelby's working with her, by the way. He's doing a great job. And her plan is to shut it down, come back and do Junior USA, Junior Nationals, and if needed, and then Team U if needed. So
cool.
Not as many pro cards at those shows, but, it'll be good to get her in front of the same judges that are usually at those events.
We're going to have to hurry up and get to Scott because there was too much of the Gallagher house and too much of
bodybuilding
contest. Yes. Getting restless. He's getting bored.
I'm moving it along because I think I heard him open his canteen a little bit ago. So it sounded like a canteen.
Oh, device. I thought I had it on mute.
But yeah. So I took the day off when they did Classic bodybuilding. I needed a break from life and bodybuilding, especially after that. It was a long day.
I bet.
She did good though, and like I said, man, bodybuilding looked good. I saw Dave Kalick there. He had a whole bunch of guys in the show, and I believe that one of his guys won the overall. In fact, I'm about to pull that up to make sure that I'm not lying here. Okay, yeah, he's a big dude too. He's almost I would say he had great condition. I'll send you a picture of him right now, guys. He great condition, but he definitely needs to be bigger to compete as a pro. And his name is Ronald Gordon, won the overall. I was a big fan of this kid, Austin Carr. He won light heavy, I believe. Freaking amazing legs. Upper body needs to come up a little bit. But yeah, man, overall, I just wanted to say that, guys, that bodybuilding was kick ass. And for anybody out there saying that, like, it's a dead sport, man, I tell you, you need to go to a show like this.
Well, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. So, Scott, are you back with us? I know you're taping up some boxes, as Phil Viz would say.
Well, I'd like to apologize for that noise, and I'd also like to apologize for Skip and his Aryan Nation family in the comments about our troubled neighborhoods in the country.
You know, that is actually a racist statement when you think about it, because the ghetto, you were being presumptive thinking that I was talking about a specific race, but that is not necessarily the case. So the racism is on you. Oh,
good call.
Since 99.9% of the people will agree with me, we'll go with the 1.1% that agree with you.
Well, we'll have to just see, won't we?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right, guys.
I go to disadvantaged neighborhoods all the time.
Was it racist because my car was white? Is that what you were getting at? Because that's the only thing that I said.
If you were tan, you wouldn't have got as many looks.
But that is just true. Now, not necessarily as many looks, but I can get away with a nod and I can get away. I'm telling you, most people either think I'm black or Mexican. And down here, they think I'm Latina. Latina.
Latina with an A?
I'm just having fun saying that. Yeah. No, probably Latino.
Yeah. But
I don't know.
All right, guys, what do you say? Let's take a quick commercial break. We've got some questions over at the forum. And, you know, I had tried to set it up to do some calls this morning. I'm rubbing it in now, Skip. But we actually have a couple guys that we might be able to still reach that are still available at the late hour of 9:30 p.m. We're going to see if we can get a couple callers, and we'll get to some questions. So, guys, let's listen to this commercial, and we will be right back.
Team Skip has been synonymous with bodybuilding conditioning for the last two decades. From NFL players to professional bodybuilders to 40-something guys that just want to kill it in the gym and their shirt sleeves. If you have too much skin, call Skip. TeamSkip.com, because skin is overrated. Hey guys, Scott McNally here.
And this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
Who are we speaking to?
Hi, my name is Ray Hernandez.
What's up, Ray? I'm Scott, and what's I'm with S2H and Skip Hill.
Hola.
Say hi, guys.
Awesome. Ray, Ray.
How you guys doing, man? This is amazing. You have no idea. This is probably, I got to scratch this off my bucket list. I said, one day, I'm going to be on Advices Radio.
Hell yeah. So. Hell yeah. Well, that day is today. all right, do you have a awesome. Question for us?
Yes. The question I had is more or less, how long do you guys recommend to be off cycle in terms of like, when do you think you would stop making gains off cycle? Like, you know, would you push it 3 months, 4 months? What's realistically, how long can you be off and still make gains is pretty so much what I'm
So you're saying like basically, so you come off cycle and you're wondering, first of all, can you make progress now without the gear? And for how long can you do that?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. That's how I'm trying to word it. Correct.
Gotcha. All right. Guys, what do you think? Scott, you want to start us out?
Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, obviously, it's going to depend on some things like your genetic potential. I mean, some guys just can put on more muscle than others from a genetic standpoint.
I would say, when you come off, don't cut back on the food. You need to pick it up.
I would say take the phone out of your mouth, Scott. Out of your mouth. Away from your mouth.
Hey, Skip, just shut up while I'm talking, all right? For once.
Oh, man. No, just keep, you know, I mean, keep training. I think it's a lot of it's psychological with people.
Of course.
They think, oh, I'm off and I'm just going to shrink and whittle away to nothing. But, you know, keep the food up. You know, don't drop your, you know, calories way down or even lower them. I'd increase them. And you might want to change your training some, though. I mean, especially if you've been lifting really heavy, you might want to just back off a hair, not right at first, but, you know, be a little more cautious, that kind of thing. Okay. But yeah, you could, I mean, probably it depends. If somebody's doing like a couple, you know, 12, 16 week runs a year, take a, you know, 8 weeks off in between, something like that. Get your blood work done, get it checked out, make sure you're good to go. And yeah, I mean, it can be done. I think it's a myth that it can't be, more psychological than anything. So
I think that's like the biggest problem I've had is it's been psychological. I said, I want to take, I usually take a couple of months off, you know, here and there throughout the year, but I want to take longer just to get my body completely back to baseline, because my lab work's been coming back pretty crappy. So
it's 12 weeks then to take off, you know, 3 months, something like that. Get it redone, see how it looks. Don't do what Skip does. That's probably the best thing you can do. You know, everything opposite of that would be probably a good choice.
Nice.
Lab work is overrated. Don't worry about that. How old are you?
I'm 29.
Okay, so you're still young. 29. You're not going to die anytime soon. You can take as much as you want and never come off.
Great advice.
I'm kidding about that. But I'm going to agree with the psychological component, but I'm going to expound. And I'm going to say that too many people, and I think Scott was getting at this, too many people, when they come off, there's a couple things that happen. Number one, the psychological component that plays on you, that you think, oh, I'm off. So then the diet isn't 100%. The training isn't always there. You skip a workout because while you're on, God knows we don't want to miss anything. So I think that plays a part too. You have to be able to adjust your training because your recovery is not going to be the same while you're off. That's probably the most important thing. And I'm going to agree with Scott too, with the calories completely. Sometimes people come off of a cycle and then they want to cut. They want to get lean. Oh, I want to get leaner. I want to go into a cut phase. That's really exactly the opposite of what you want to do when you come off, because that is not going to help your recovery either. So I like the idea that Scott said about increasing calories, because you're going to need that help with recovery. I would say don't train as frequently, or at least adjust volume as well. And really, I mean, I was kidding when I said you can stay on forever, but you are 29. And as long as you're doing lab work, I remember being 29 and I didn't want to come off, and I had no signs that I needed to come off. So I did run longer at that age than I have been able to in the latter years.
Of course. Absolutely. Makes sense. Yeah. I'm in the healthcare field, so I'm always so vigilant of my lab work, you know.
And that's one of the things that has come up over the last, maybe, I don't know, it's probably been about five to 8 years now. Almost everybody's doing their lab work like they're supposed to. I remember 8-10 years ago, it was like pulling teeth to get people to keep track of their bloods. And not only do you keep track, like Scott has said time and time again, you have to have a baseline. You have to know what your blood is like when you're off versus when you're on. So don't just do it when you're off, but do it when you're on and in the middle of a cycle too, to see what that contrast is, to see if things are getting really bad. Or when you're young, sometimes you can get away with your blood. I know I stayed within ranges even when I was on until, you know, 5-8 years ago, and then that didn't happen. So be able to have that contrast so that you can see what's going on with your blood while you're on versus while you're off.
What about recovery, though?
So I guess.
What about recovery, though, Skip?
What do you mean?
Well,
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, because he wants to recover between cycles. So, I mean, that's got to be, I mean, I am correct, right? You do want to recover your natural production and maintain that. Like, you don't want to have to rely on HRT, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was.
Well, I think there's a difference, though, between ages. Like, as an example, and there are other factors that people have to take into consideration, kids, no kids, even though there are plenty of people who have been on and, to be quite honest, been abusive with their AAS, and they can still have kids. I'm not convinced that steroid abuse will, like staying on for years, will make you never have kids. Now, I'm not going to play doctor, so I don't want anybody out there cringing when I say, all I'm saying is I'm not convinced of that, because I've seen too many cases where it may take you longer to recover, but damn near everybody recovers, even if they've been abusive to themselves, sometimes for years.
Okay.
So not everybody, obviously there are exceptions, but there are just as many people who have never taken a steroid in their life who will have such low sperm counts that they struggle to be able to conceive as well.
Okay, that's kind of what I was getting at. That's kind of, I wanted to get your opinion on that a little bit so that it clears it up. Does this answer your question for you, brother?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. It does. It's very thorough.
Where are you out of, by the
way? Thank you, guys.
Yeah, where are you out of up, by the way?
Miami, Florida.
Miami. So you're not far from Florida.
Just down the road.
Yeah.
All right.
Just down the road, yeah. Wherever you guys are down here, come train at Miami Iron Gym. You're more than welcome to. We're like a big family there. So
nice.
If you guys ever come down to Miami, you have my number. Give me a call.
If you
I'll see you in December.
Yeah, that's right. You're going to be down there, aren't you?
Oh, cool. You're going to be down here in December? What's going on down here in December?
My in-laws live down there. Well, north of Miami.
Oh, nice.
They live in, I mean, you can only chill out with 86-year-olds for so long. So I venture out about, you know. Yeah, I'll come down and check you out.
He'll stop in Fort Lauderdale, pick me up, and we'll go down there.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, whenever you want, man. That'll be awesome.
All right.
Cool. Well,
a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Take care.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Well, that was a successful call. I think we got off on a good start here. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he wanted me to come train with him, but I skip.
Yeah, he's not bringing me. I know full well you're not bringing me down.
But in Miami, that skip won't go.
All right, we've got another caller, but before we get to that, I am going to go to the boards here and pull one of our questions from the thread. So, guys, besides the calls, if you're listening to this and you don't know what's going on, we've been taking calls. And what we're doing is I'm posting a thread either from my personal Facebook page, or I'm sorry, excuse me, Instagram page, Scott McNally, or at the Advices Radio Instagram, which is at Advices Radio Network. When we post that thread up, I'm basically asking for you to DM me your question and a phone number. So look out for those threads in the future, and you guys too can take part in Blood, Sweat, and Gear. So going over to the board, if you have a question you want to ask there, you can go to forum.advicesradio.com. In the bodybuilding section, we have threads for all the shows. They are sticky at the top. This one's for Blood, Sweat, and Gear. This is Punisher, and he says, after using gear for a few years now, I'm starting to feel like I really only need test and GH for most of the year. He said, I blast and cruise throughout the year and recently have been increasing my testosterone dose during blast rather than just adding a bunch of other compounds. I keep the GH consistent at 2 IU 6 days per week for most of the year with occasional breaks. I will add a small amount, maybe 200 milligrams of DECA for 10 weeks, usually at the end of a mass gaining phase, or a small amount of Masteron or Anaphar to get the desired look during the last 4 to 6 weeks of a cut. But the remaining 30 to 35 weeks out of the year, I've just been running test and GH and feel great. Am I an anomaly? Have you seen or successfully used this strategy with any of your clients who don't compete? Thanks. Always looking forward to the show. Skip, you've had, being with Team Skip, you've had a wide, variety of experiences with a lot of different people. Is this guy crazy in the way that he's running his gear, or is this what you would think would be par for the course, or what are your thoughts?
Well, he asked if he's an anomaly, and that's a yes, no answer.
Okay.
Yes, he's an anomaly because a lot of people won't do that. They feel like they have to add in different compounds and, ooh, this is going to be the secret formula, and ooh, if I change this, I'm not a change them up kind of guy. I don't believe in the, oh, I've been on this for 6 weeks, I need to switch it up. I don't approach things like that because I don't believe that. I love his approach. And the most important thing that he said throughout that question was he feels good and he's been progressing well. There you go. When you start to get great, look, if mama says you don't fix what ain't broke, my clients have heard me say that for years. If you're progressing, don't get greedy and think, oh, I can progress even more. And that goes for whether you're trying to gain and add muscle or if you're trying to get leaner and get ripped. Now, if you're on a deadline, that's different. But for the most part, you just don't get greedy. You don't fix something that isn't broke. You let it run its course. And then when you're not progressing, you make changes. I like his approach. I do think it's an anomaly in a sense that most people don't like to do that. They won't just stick with it. They feel like they have to change something, add something, subtract something, add two things, that sort of thing.
Hmm. How about you, Scott? What are your thoughts?
Keep doing it.
There you go.
Yeah, that's all I can say. And post that on every forums, social media you can find. So maybe you can re-educate all the people in the world that think otherwise. Just keep rocking it, brother. That's all I can say.
I mean, realistically, this has been what you guys basically promote, isn't it? I mean, this is, I mean, he's using, I mean, this is really, I'd say moderation. Am I right?
Yeah, moderation and keeping it simple. It you just go with what works, and if it's working, great. If it weren't working, that's completely different, but it's working.
Yeah.
And it will work for a lot of people, quite frankly.
That makes total sense. I'm all for it too. I think that you know what too? I feel like Test just functions better in people's bodies than other compounds. Our bodies are made to handle testosterone, and I just feel like, you know, as long as you keep estrogen in control, that is, that you can really use that to get as far as you need. Because I get people all the time that are new to competing, and maybe they've been a bro in the gym that's been cycling for years, and you know, we start a contest prep. We don't start it with like Tren, Masteron, Winstrol. You know what I mean? You don't start a prep that way. And I think that most people who've been around this know that. But the guys that have just been doing this, you know, based off of what they learned on the internet, kind of like what you're alluding to, Scott, they've got to run everything in the kitchen sink, start and plus kickstart the cycle, you know?
And they're probably just running more tests anyway because the shit's fake.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the irony of it. And I think too, I don't want to pick at the younger kid, I call them kids because to me they are, but I'm going to pick at them a little bit. I think what happens a lot of times is, you know, it's the old cliche, test is best. And then a young kid hears that and they say, oh, that's just a bunch of old people saying that. And there's got to be a better way. I can appreciate thinking outside of the box. I can appreciate challenging what is known. But a lot of what is known is known and has been done for a long time, not because we are stupid. The older generation is stupid and we haven't thought of what you're thinking. It's because it works and it's the best approach. And I think sometimes there's a fine line between thinking outside of the box and challenging everything and thinking, oh, these old fuckers don't know what they're taught. They didn't even think about this. Oh, yeah, we never thought of that. Ooh. You know, we didn't think about just running a bunch of Tren back when we were making it from Dan Duchesne's recipe in Muscle Mag or Iron Man. Yeah, that never occurred to us. We've done it. We've pretty much done it all. Once you spend any significant amount of time in the industry or training or taking gear or competing, you've damn near done everything if you haven't done everything. So it was a shot at the kids, the more I think about it.
That makes total sense. I'm going to pull one more question here from the board, and then we're going to go to our next caller. Curious on your thoughts, running test sip at 600 milligrams a week, split into two shots. Everything is great, but every time I add in EQ, within a week or so, I'm breaking out. EQ is about 500 milligrams a week. Is it possible that it's fake? With lower androgen grade than test, I would think those sides would be less. If it was fake, what would they typically fake it with? Thanks. What are your thoughts here, Scott? Oh, Skip, you sounded like you had something to say.
No, I busted in. Yeah, oh, I was okay. Too excited. Go ahead.
Well, if it's making you break out, just stop taking it. But there's a couple reasons why you can break out. Now, some people have reactions to the type of oil use. Some people, it could be more test. I mean, if you got some lab work, you could probably figure it out real quick. You know, get some without the EQ and some with it and see how it you know, affects your lab work. I mean, that'd be the instant way to find out. But I mean, it's kind of like anybody says to me, hey, something doesn't make me, it's causing problems and this and that. And I just recently had someone contact me that was a client for a long time, and they were having issues with some stuff, and it wasn't like they were taking a whole lot. And I won't elaborate on the issue, but yeah, it turned out by looking at the lab work that everything they were taking might have said something on the label, but it was all test.
Oh, geez.
And that caused the problems. I mean, it had to be. I mean, it was, the numbers were just astronomically leaning towards that. So, and then the individual took those out and the problem subsided, even though that they were only using one of the testosterone at that point, almost to the same milligrams of the total of the three. So, you know, it could be, I mean, people do break out the EQ. You know, everybody's got reactions, everybody's different, so your reaction to different compounds can be this or that. But you know, I think I'm of the thought that a lot of stuff is fake. It's just testosterone and just has it, unless it's something clearly different, like maybe Tren. But most of the time I think you're getting just test a lot in a lot of cases.
Now, assuming, assuming that the gear is what he believes it is, tests an EQ, and he put in EQ, in my opinion, about 90% of the time when someone breaks out, it happens under two situations. Your blood levels are either going up or they're coming down. It doesn't usually happen when blood levels are stable. Now, there are always exceptions. There are people who break out. They break out relatively easily, or they break out to a specific compound. But the large majority of people, and I'm going to use myself as an example, even though I'm not the only person, but I don't break out and even didn't break out much as a teenager either. But I will break out a little bit when my blood levels are climbing, or when they're on the decline. And you guys know I've been on straight, for years. At one point I was on for 3.5 years. Did not break out until I started coming off. And then when I was off and my blood levels were low, the breakouts subsided. Now, it's not just me. I'm using myself as an example. But because that happened, 10, 12 years ago, I have seen that happen with multiple clients. They don't break out typically when they're in the middle of a cycle. They break out when those levels are climbing or declining.
That's what I've totally seen too. I found that I'm real prone to acne, and I found that, my acne is always 100% in the middle of a cycle, or if I'm not on anything at all. But yeah, like you said, when it's either coming up or going down. But EQ is a weird one. I feel like people don't break out on EQ as much as some other compounds. What do you think about that?
I just think that people break out on different things. I mean, even something as odd as, say, a female taking Anavar and all of a sudden they get bloated from it. That is not common, but it does happen.
Fair enough.
So, and the other thing that's important to note, too, I have to throw this in here because I don't want people to think, well, just 2 weeks ago, I've been taking the same dose for 2 or 3 weeks. And now why would I, why would I be breaking out or not breaking out now? You changing your dosages doesn't directly correlate with blood levels. So you have to, and especially with something like EQ, I mean, you could all of a sudden, you could ramp up 200, 400, 600, and that only takes you 3 weeks. But in 6 weeks, then there could be an issue if you're breaking out for, say, 6 weeks or so. The body has to stabilize, and that's a very, very long ester. So it takes a while. It's not like as soon as you get done with your third week of EQ at 600 milligram that your blood levels are topped out, or that they're not still climbing. That's not the case. So people have to understand that it's not just your dosing protocol. It's the actual blood levels. If you were to look at your blood work and see when it finally peaked or it levels off, that's when you're not going to have as much of that breakout issue, or you're not going to be as not open to it, but prone to it.
I don't break out, so I got that soft, sensitive skin.
Yeah. I hardly ever break out, but I will when I'm coming out. I did when I came off 7 weeks ago. I started breaking out a little bit. I'm nothing bad, but so, like I say, some people are. They handle it or react differently than others, and they can break out real bad. I know there have been a couple women who, even on very, very low doses of EQ, will break out. I've seen a breakout on a back that was shoulder to shoulder, middle of the traps or top of the traps, almost down to the lower back, and did not break out anywhere else.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. I'm going to try to pull up our next caller here.
Yeah, caller.
Hold on a sec.
Hello.
Hey, who's this?
This is Tim.
Hey, Tim. What's up, man? Welcome to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. What's happening, guys? You're talking with Scott McNally, S2H, and Skip Hill. Say hey, guys.
Apparently,
what's up, Skip, you're not too nervous talking to me, are you?
I'm always nervous. I actually cringe when a new caller comes on because I think they're going to pull one on me. It's going to be my wife, and I'm going to be just leveled for the next 10 minutes. I'm glad to hear a masculine voice.
She's in the other room drinking a Bud Light.
Well played.
how's everybody doing that?
We are doing good. So you've got a question for us, but where are you calling us from? Where are you at?
I'm in Northern California, beautiful Northern California. I am in a small town called Benicia, California. I'm about 40 minutes east of San Francisco. 40 minutes from Napa Valley and 2 hours from Tahoe.
He's got a good radio voice, Skip.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm in a perfect location.
How's that wrench?
It's 71 degrees. Sunsetting. It's just gorgeous right now.
Nice.
Close to San Francisco. How is the real estate in your area or the rent versus San Francisco? Is it starting to come down or is it just as bad?
No, it's still high here. I mean, a median price here is about $685.
Nice. Okay.
Which is definitely a lot lower than the city, but still we're talking, you know, my house, for instance, I have 2-bedroom, 2-bath, been remodeled, about 1,100 square feet, about 665 is about what it's worth.
Damn.
665,000?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Rents around here, like a place like this would rent for about $2,300 a month.
Damn.
I'm going to stay in Detroit.
Yeah.
This is, I think, honestly, though, Tim could take my job here. He's got a better radio voice than I do.
Pretty sexy.
I know, right?
I don't know about that.
But what's your question, Tim?
All right, guys. Thinking about what do you think the effects of a low-dose trend, like 10 milligrams a day, you think that would be effective enough for a cut with the proper diet? You think it'd be enough to see any or feel any effects without the negatives, the night sweats and the, you know, all the other that go along with it?
Versus nothing?
Well, versus a higher dose trend or nothing. Yeah. I mean, okay, let's go with nothing first. Like, let's say, okay, for me personally, I'm 53. I'm on TRT. I do 300 mgs a week of testy. That's it. Like 17% body fat. I do a keto diet 90% of the time. Trying to lean out. My son's getting married in December, so I'm trying to lean out, get a little lean. I have to buy a fucking suit. Yeah, I haven't had a suit in 20 years.
Oh, geez.
I wear shorts literally 365 days a year. I have a carpet cleaning business. So I wear shorts at work. I wear shorts. I don't put on pants.
It's your son's wedding. You're paying for it. You can wear whatever the hell you want to pay or whatever you want.
Well, I'm paying for part of it.
That's right.
I'm paying for the rehearsal dinner and the booze at the wedding.
Right.
So
that's not, right. You can wear shorts.
I have to comply. And it's a black tie affair.
Okay. All right. I'm going to
buy a suit. So my goal is if I'm buying a suit, I want to get leaner. I want to look good in a suit. I don't want to look like a fat ass.
I'll be short, so I'll go first, and I'll let S2H completely go against what I say. I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say stay on your TRT, add the 10 milligrams a day, which is, what, roughly 70 mgs a week, so about 1 mil of trend. I would say if I were you at your age with your goals, and I say at your age because you're damn near my age, we're about the same. That's what I would do. I don't know that I would cut the testosterone and only use the trend at 10 mgs a day.
No, I wouldn't do that. I would stay on the 300 mgs a week of the testy. I would cut that.
Yeah, I'll tell you, if that's your plan, I kind of like it. Now, you could get more. Really? Like, I mean, it's a no-brainer that if you went up another, mil or two, you would get more out of it. But then you have to balance cost to benefit. Basically with sides, and the sides of trend being not very good sleep and sweating and, you know, breath smelling like ammonia, you know, that sort of thing. So I like it. If you're trying to stay right around TRT, minimize the sides and get a little something extra, I think it's a pretty good idea. You going to cut me down, Scott?
Yeah, I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a waste of time. Just do 30 minutes of cardio. Do 30 minutes of cardio 3 days a week extra and save the trend 10 milligrams a day. It's not some kind of, it's not a magic potion. It's just diet and training, and that's really not going to make much of a difference. Worst case, especially since I'm close to your age too, you're probably going to break out from it.
Really?
That tends to happen to older guys.
You think so? From 10 mgs, you think?
I don't think it's going to do much anything anyway. So I would just do 30 minutes of cardio three times a week extra and just call it a week.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I don't think it's going to help improve your physique.
Yeah, I think Scott's wrong. Scott thinks I'm wrong. You got to pick one.
Well, let me pose this, guys. let me pose this, guys. Does he have to use the Trenadol? Could he? What if he used something else? I mean, does it have to be that or nothing, or could he possibly throw something else in, be it a fat burner or another anabolic to reach his goals faster?
Stims. I can't do any stims.
Okay.
I can't do stims. Okay. I have AFib, so I can't do stims. But it doesn't. My heart. I just had an echo done in June. My heart is solid. Other than the AFib, I have no issues with my heart. I got great. My ejection fraction is 60%. Blood pressure is freaking spot on. It averages like 122 over 65. My cholesterol, everything was spot on my cholesterol. HDLs were 54, LDLs were 90 something. Triglycerides were 50s. Everything's good. Blood work, everything is good.
All right, then Skip, is there anything else that you would suggest, or do you just say just do the 10?
Well, he could use something else, but correct me if I'm wrong. I think what you're saying is, what could I take to add to the TRT in very low dose that I could still get a punch? And I would answer that by saying 10 milligrams of Tren versus 10 milligrams of Primobolan or 10 milligrams of EQ. I can kind of see where he's coming from if he wants to take low dose daily. Am I safe to assume that you're taking it daily? You're going to basically run it sub-Q daily? Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I ran Tren one other time. In 09, I ran Tren at basically it was like 37. The way I measured it out was like 37.5 megs a week. A day. And I ran that for 50 days straight. Results were freaking astounding. Within 2 weeks, it was like shoulders got capped. We got super lean. It was, super low dose. I had great experience with it. But then that's when I got diagnosed with the AFib. And so I kind of just pulled away from it and just recently kind of learned more about the AFib. And
I think, if he doesn't take, he hasn't taken a lot of gear. He doesn't have a history of using a lot of gear. I wouldn't be surprised if he may not respond dramatically to it, but I still think that he would respond to it. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if he did, to be honest.
All right, guys, we got to wrap up and move on. Right. Thank you very much for your call, brother.
Thanks,
and,
guys.
We hope that it helps. Good luck with the wedding. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
$665 for that house. Man, that's crazy. That's a lot.
San Francisco and Denver, the markets are incredibly similar. My wife is in that line of work, and she's got to keep track of that shit all the time. And it's just insane. I thought because he was farther away that it would have dropped off. And it probably has from San Francisco proper, but you got to get out further than that. California is just ridiculous anyway, though. Not only is the price high, but the property tax has to be high because their taxation is horrible out there.
And I'm going to try to get the next caller here. We've got somebody real special lined up. Let me see if I can get this call to go through. You guys are going to like this one. All right. It's ringing. And all right, here we go. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Hey, we've got a special guest here. Does that voice sound familiar, Skip?
Oh no.
We've got Mrs. Skip on the line here. Mrs. Skip, how are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
Very good. We've heard about you through the years. I actually had heard you mentioned before, and I had always heard you mentioned as Mrs. Skip, and that's what we're going to refer to you as tonight. Even back on the days of PED. And this is, Mrs. Skip Hill. S2H, Scott, have you met Mrs. Skip before?
No, I haven't. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you? How exciting.
Can you guys hear my heart beating? I don't know. I'm trying to text her right now. Be like, you better not say anything.
So first of all, I want to get something straight. You don't call your husband Skip, right?
No. No.
What other names do you have for cats?
Oh my God, the list is long. Ass is a big one of them. That happens pretty often.
Let me ask you this. What was he like 20 years ago when you guys were younger?
You know what? He's probably pretty much the same. That's probably why we're still together, because we still act like we're young.
That's cool.
Has Ken's glutes gotten softer over the years?
Over the last couple of months, definitely.
Nice.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
It happens, though.
Hey, shake a little bit. It's squishy. It's still fun.
Okay.
Is Ken a little adventurous?
Look at that. We're out of time.
It depends. It depends on what it is.
Mm-hmm. Does he told you about his yellow thong?
That's I've a seen Scott it. Thing. I've probably bought it for him.
Oh God.
That's he good. Actually nice. Has one that's elephant too. He's had that one for a while.
Any more interesting clothing that he has?
There's quite a closet full. I'll send you some pics another day.
All right. Over. I'd like to see him.
Well, we appreciate your time, Mrs. Skip. I just thought it'd be fun since we had the opportunity, since we're doing call-ins, came to me, we could actually call Mrs. Skip herself and give her an opportunity to be on Blood, Sweat, and Gear. After all these years of Skip being on, we brought Mrs. Skip on.
You guys should probably have me on more often. I'm probably a lot more fun than he is.
I bet you all the years you of being around him, you probably could give us the same answers.
Oh, I'm sure I could probably do that and some.
All right. Skip, you're out of a job.
That fast.
All right. Thank you, Mrs. Skip. Hope you have a great night.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
That's exactly why I want to record during the day. Because she's at work. She's at work, even though we're close. She's down about three stories, and does not come home for anything.
Well, now that we have her number, we can get a hold of her anytime. We can bring her on every show. All right. I'm going to go to one more question, guys. This is from George, UK. And then we will get out of here. I figured I'd end the note seriously here with some more bodybuilding. And because I saw that he says he's currently 6 weeks out. So he's actually looking really good. I saw the guy. He's about my age. And he's getting pretty diced. And as you can imagine, George UK is from the UK. Currently 6 weeks out. Body fat is where it should be. I don't particularly hold a lot of water, no matter what the compound. I'm taking tests, Parabolin. Masteron in moderate doses, Novadex also. My plan was to change nothing and rely totally on the diet to get into condition, but looking at a couple options: reduce the test and increase the Masteron the closer I get to the show, or implement Arimidex Letrozole up to the show, or maybe both, or maybe neither. What are your opinions, Scott?
I don't think using Letro and Arimidex is probably, I would use Aromacin, but some, and then go to the Arimidex towards the end. I don't think you have to use both of them, you know, especially if you're staying dry. I mean, if it's working for you, stick with it. I mean, I really hate to venture into new things real close to a show. It's, you know, what's been working good for you could go the other direction. I like the Parabolin though. But yeah, you know, I mean, I think the Letro and the Arimidex just together is kind of an overkill. Maybe if you need to get a little dry right at the end, you could throw a little bit extra in, a little more Arimidex or a little Letro. But I think that one's kind of an overkill. But you know, if it's working for you and you're lean, just keep doing what you're doing. I like the point about going with the diet.
All right. What are your thoughts, Skip?
Not too much to add. I mean, letrozole to me is, especially letrozole and Arimidex, is like trying to kill an ant with a grenade. It's just extreme overkill. Unless he's got gyno or he's trying to battle and reverse a little bit of gyno, and even then it doesn't always work. I would say leave letro out of the equation completely. I mean, those two, not only are they going to send his estrogen into single digits, but it, I mean, it just pretty much annihilates it. But then he's going to have, he's going to come off the show with an even worse cholesterol panel, and having to be, be battling that as well. Going back to what Scott said, if he's at 6 weeks out and he's where he's supposed to be and he doesn't hold much water, yeah, he could probably get away with adding compounds. But then the question becomes why? If everything is going right, again, you don't fix what doesn't need to be fixed. So leave it alone. Ride it in. I don't have anything else to add. I wish I did, but there's really nothing there. I would ride it out.
Let me ask you guys this. I mean, so if he's just using Novadex, and I know that Novadex can kind of work as an AI, I mean, isn't it possible that his estrogen is on the higher side right now?
Well, Novadex is not an AI.
I've heard that it has some AI-like effects, but in general, yeah, it's not. So that's what I'm saying, though, is it, so potentially could his estrogen be on the high side is what I'm asking. And then I guess my further question is that okay? I mean, basically, is it okay? I mean, he obviously must be looking good and looking dry. I've always been of the mindset of, making sure that like estrogen is in the low range. And if anything, I have eradicated it, coming into a show. That'd be like the only time of the year that I'd ever, really drop it low purposely. But does it need to be that way, I guess, is what I'm asking.
No. I mean, if he's dry and he's on target 6 weeks out, I mean, yeah, putting some Arimidex in would be, I wouldn't even go too crazy on it. I mean, water is going to be manipulated anyway at the end, most likely. And if he's already looking good, I don't see any reason to do it.
Okay.
I really don't. I mean, there's people that have competed without an AI or Novadex. I mean, it just depends on the person. If he's real dry and he's staying dry, I mean, there's no sense in just beating the horse to China.
I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with dropping your estrogen. I think I get what you're saying, Scott. If you're going to drop it for the last couple of weeks and it's going to go in the basement and you're trying to gain condition that way, get harder, okay, great. But if he's not having a problem with that, I don't think even if he does have slightly elevated estrogen, if it's not playing into his condition and he doesn't need to lower it now to potentially pull off more body fat, then I don't think that it matters being higher.
Okay.
He's talking about it being 6 weeks out. If he was saying last couple weeks and he wanted to put his estrogen in the basement, I'd say, okay, cool. Cause I do a lot of the same philosophy that you do. If it's in the basement, if your estrogen is in the basement for a couple of weeks, okay, cool, maybe even 3 weeks. But if it's going to get up to 6 weeks, I don't know, based on what he has said, that would be needed right now at 6 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. So, and it sounds like you, yeah, that's why I was fleshing it out a little bit more, because I felt like, yeah, you're saying, and because maybe I'm going by what I believe I should do. And I never have taken the chance, I guess, is what it comes down to.
Scott's trying to get his papers organized. So yeah. We'll just wait for him to get that.
Yeah. I've never dropped it out real low before, I never have not dropped it out really low. So I just haven't taken that risk, but I guess it makes sense. It makes sense that if he's looking good now and he is where he needs to be, maybe he doesn't need to. That's why I wanted to kind of push that one a little further.
Right.
All right.
Right.
Well, guys, that wraps things up. We had a couple more questions, but I think we've got a full round show here. Plus, we had Mrs. Skip visit us, which was my highlight personally.
Oh, mine too, definitely.
And the elephant thong.
Let's go back to recording during the day. This is the one time
I was just thinking about that elephant sound effect that I'm adding into the show now. All right, guys. Well, it is getting late, and it's time for me to eat some food and get to sleep so I can wake up and do it all again tomorrow. Normally, I ask you guys if you're training today, but if you were, it's over. And Skip, I know you aren't training, and Scott, I know your back is jacked up today, so I don't think there's any more training going on for the rest of the evening.
I'm posing right now. It's not very impressive, but I'm posing right now. Classical posing.
All right, guys, for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear, I'm Scott McNally with S2H and Skip Hill. We will see you soon.
Advices Radio Network.